these cell phones or electronic devices, we ask that you put them on the silence, in reverence of the Spirit.
I need somebody to come and adjust my seat. It's up too high. I'll fall off the stool, I get a nosebleed. It ain't moving. Maybe I got you. I want attention this morning. Am I getting in? Okay, that's okay. Just let it go. Just let it go. I'll deal with it. Maybe I got shorter. No, it's something different. The seats are doing the dentist's problem is. I mean. Well, good morning. You know, I was thinking we sing all them love songs to God and. And Chris says, isn't God good? Oh, no. That's okay. You don't have this on video, do you? Thank you. It's bad enough doing here, let alone have the world see it. Well, that's got you loose as a goose, and now you can receive, right? Whatever's on your mind is all gone now, and you forgot all about that because of a stool. God can use anything, can he? He's using a stool, not me, all right? Well, I feel good today. I feel good every day. Do you feel good every day anymore? It doesn't matter what's going on. I think we all lost our minds. Because we just go on as if nothing's happening. It isn't. Nothing is happening. Everything is happening is in the spirit realm, and God is getting ready to bring it down here to us, and then we'll really be happy. The joy of the Lord will remain our strength. Amen. Well, Father, I truly do thank you for all that you did during praise and worship to our hearts. I thank you, Father God, that you're here and you know each and every need in your children. And I'm asking, Father God, that you said you were going to start doing something very special. And I'm asking this be the day, this be the hour. We are expectant, Father God. We are expecting you to move in miraculous ways and to do a great mighty works. First of all, in our midst, and then let it, Father God, then bring in the people and let them just soak in what you've done for us. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray that way because you know, God wants us to receive it first, so that then whenever we get around, people just gushes out onto them. You know, but if we're empty, we don't have anything to give them. But if we're so full of God that it's overflowing, because God's we're in the overflow, then we have something to give somebody. Otherwise, we're just nothing. Everybody's still putting on sweaters. Somebody do something with the air conditioning. It's been so hot in here, I said, make sure it's cold and we get in there Sunday morning. You were obedient. Thank you, servant. You know, this is a time that God wants to give into our bosoms everything that he's promised us all these years. Really and truly, this is a time. And the problem with a lot of people is they aren't ready to receive the goodness of God. And God wants us to get ready to receive the goodness of God. And that's why I was wanting to sing that song, Brett, because we're going to talk about Joseph, and you know, he had that coat of many colors. Joseph was really blessed. First of all, his father loved him completely. And then, you know, then he was really favored in God's, you know, God's eyes. And then he got everywhere he went, he found favor. And God wants that to happen to us. Everywhere we go, he wants us to find favor. And he wants us to be blessed going in and coming out. And you know, we need to quit complaining about our trials and tribulations. Because all through the Word, they all went through trials and tribulations. You know, and it's going to get worse and not better in the world. So we have to become a children that are just happy no matter what the circumstance is. And you just rejoice in it, you know. And sometimes, you know, you really have to make yourself do that. It's just not going to fall on you like rain. You've got to say, I'm going to be happy today. I don't care what's going on. And you already know you're already facing a battle. And you know the battle's going to get worse before it gets better. And you're going to have to make yourself be happy. Because is God getting control or is he not? If we're out there spouting out, oh, God's in control and God's wonderful, but yet we act like, you know, like the world when things go wrong in our life. And I don't even like to say this, but as you know, I was reading a lot here in the Bible, and the people who were really following God were always being attacked. They were always being attacked. They didn't walk around, you know, in la-la land with nothing bothering them. They were always attacked, but they didn't give in to the attacks. They just stayed in faith. In fact, the attacks made their faith grow stronger. So can we start doing that, guys? And can we really just start following God because he's God? And whatever we have to go through, we have to go through. You know, when we have children, you know, they're such cute little cuddly things, you know. But then as they start getting older, you say, oh, you know, they're not cute and cuddly anymore. And then they get into the problem field, you know. And then you think, I really thought I had to have this, you know. I mean, you everybody thinks that, I'm quite sure, at some point. Boy, I can't believe I prayed and asked God to give me these children. Because, you know, and nowadays, because kids are a mess. No, I just cursed him, didn't I? No, they're not a mess. The devil's after our children. Let's put it that way. The kids themselves are not a mess. The devil's after our children, and he's doing whatever he can to get them. And see, that's another thing. We have to quit getting down to dumps because our children aren't doing exactly what we planned for them to do, because I don't think you're doing exactly what God planned for you to do, and you know, you're doing your thing because of the circumstances around about you. So we have to quit expecting so much out of our children. Does God have our children or does he not? And like God was talking to me about my children, he said, why don't you allow them to live their lives like I allowed you to live your life? You know, we try to make clones out of our children. And I don't know why I'm on this tangent, but we try to make clones out of our children, and we just need to let God work them through their life step by step by step. Just stop and think, some of you, what you went through in your little walk, you know, before you were at today. You were a mess, some of you, and I'm not speaking that over. That's just the truth. You know, and then all of a sudden we don't think our children should go through anything. I'm sorry, they're going to go through some things because they have to learn to live like you did. They have to learn there's life, and you have to walk through life. And we can't have our head stuck in the ground. You know, we have to understand that things go on. Even Jesus, look at Jesus. He even ran away from his mom and dad and went and preached. They got upset with him. How dare you do that? We were worried about you. You know, well, that was a calling on his life, was to do that. So we have to understand one thing. God has a calling on each one of our children's lives or each one of your lives. But until you get to that calling, there's stages you have to walk through. And each stage brings you closer to your calling because each stage grows you up. You get out of that little silly stage, you know, and you grow up and you're just like God wants you to be. And then there's your calling. A lot of people take a lot of side roads before they get there. You know, because the enemy's on all sides, you know, trying to attack your children. And it isn't up to you to throw a fit with your children. It's up to you to pray for your children. It's up to you to know what God said about your children. And then just thank God he's taken them there. All right. I mean, maybe God's having me say all this is because Satan wants our children in the worst way than he's ever wanted our children. And we profess to be adults. So we have to get out there and we need to pray. keep our children safe. All right. 2023 is a year of fullness of the blessings of Joseph. All right, let's just, I want to say this popped into my head. So, all right, Job, let's talk about Job. You know, he had all these wonderful children, right? Satan took all of his kids away from him, right? But what did he have in the end? They say his daughters were more beautiful than the ones he lost. He had more in the end than he had in the beginning. Now, our children aren't going to die. But what I'm saying is, when God gets all this worked out, your children are going to be greater than anything you could ever imagine. All right? And I was coming down the road to church, and I was saying, talking to Teresa. I said, you know, all right, so we have an alcoholic living with us. And I said, underneath that alcoholic person is the person that God has created, a person with a great destiny to work for God. And God just has me on this vein right now. We need to stop looking at what we see with our natural eyes and understand under all that is the true person that God's bringing, not trying to bring forth, that God is bringing forth to fulfill what God has planned for their life. If we just look at people in the right way, we'll be able to help them. Be encouraged. God's just doing a mighty work. Amen. We don't like what we see sometimes, but God knows everything. All right, so the blessing of Joseph refers to the divine favor and prosperity that Joseph received from God. Joseph was blessed with the precious things of heaven, earth, and the deep, and with the goodwill of God who appeared to him in the burning bush. Now, about a year ago, God prophesied through somebody and said, he is bringing forth the Josephs right now. And, you know, when God laid this upon my heart, I know that now, then I read about what we know about Joseph, how he was, what he had to go through, and how he was blessed all the days of his life. And this is what God wants to do with us now. We've been through the trials and tribulations like Joseph did. Now it's blessing time. If you can hold on to that, it's blessing time. In Genesis 39:1, after Joseph had been taken to Egypt by the Ishmaelites, Potiphar, an Egyptian, one of Pharaoh's officials, and the manager of his household, bought Joseph from them. As it turned out, God was with Joseph, and things went very well with him. He ended up living in the home of his Egyptian master. His master recognized that God was with him and saw that God was working for good in everything he did. He became very fond of Joseph and made him his personal aide. He put him in charge of all his personal affairs, turning everything over to him. This is where you have to ask God to find favor in everybody's eyes. 5, from that moment on, God blessed the home of the Egyptian. You know, just because Joseph was in the house. From that moment on, God blessed the home of the Egyptian, all because of Joseph. The blessing of God spread over everything he owned, at home and in the fields, and all Potiphar had to concern himself with was eating 3 meals a day. Just because, you know, a child of God was in that man's presence, he was blessed. This is what God wants each one of us to be. We want us to be so engrossed in him, so one with him, that no matter where we go, the other people will be blessed just because we're there. All right? And if you can't say that, well, then we need to have God do some more cleaning up with us. Joseph was separated from his brothers because he alone remained faithful to his God. Joseph was favored by his father and consequently hated it by his brothers. There's jealousy, you know, rivalry in the kids. It's still going on today. The brothers conspired to rid themselves of Joseph and sold him as a slave to a caravan of Ishmaelites headed for Egypt. Joseph won Potiphar's favor by doing right by his Egyptian master, which made him the most powerful man under his authority. Now, if you think about Joseph, his brothers wanted to kill him. And the other brother, one of the brothers said, no, let's not do that. Let's just put him in a well. And the other brother was going to come back and get him out of there later on. But in the meantime, you know, he got sold as a slave. Now, Joseph, from what I read, he didn't throw a fit. He didn't like being in jail. But he didn't throw a fit. And while he was in jail, he found favor in jail. And then he finally got out and he found favor in the home he was in. And if you read, he just kept, I read it all, and he just kept finding favor. All because, even though he went through the trials and tribulations, because he was a spoiled little snot about the time he got the brothers wanted to kill him, right? Because his father just doted on him, made him a special coat and everything. And he went from that to being a slave. Think about that. All right, right now at this given time, the body of Christ has walked into the overflow of the fullness of Joseph's blessings. We're already there. But God just told me that we just don't quite understand we're already there. So, you know, I go around and say, I'm in the overflow. I mean that. Because if we don't get that down in our spirit, we're not going to be in the overflow. Because the enemy's always going to make you look at the circumstances around about you and see, make you believe you're not in the overflow of nothing. All right? We have been in the prison cell where everyone came against us. This is talking about us and what we went through. We have been in a prison cell where everyone came against us, but our time of separation from the world and its curses is upon us, and we are now beginning to walk in the blessings of Joseph. Hey, guys, you held out until now. Keep holding on, because every promise God has spoken to you is yes and amen. It's going to come to pass. Don't quit now, dear Lord. You're just about the finish line. Just hang in there with everything you have. And you and I've been talking to people on the phone. They're calling. They're all upset. You know, it's a terrible. The world has fallen down on top of them. And you know, I cannot convince them. Hey, you made it this far. Just keep on going. Why give up now? Just right at you when you're right there at the finish line, getting ready to be blessed. So anybody you meet, just tell them, don't give up now. You fought too hard, too long to get where you're at. Keep on going. Joseph's faith did not fail, but through his trials, he bore all his burdens with firmness and did not do anything to dishonor God. All our strength for resisting temptations and bearing afflictions comes from God. His grace is sufficient. We didn't do this on our own to get this far. Joseph became the shepherd of Israel to take care of his father and family, as well as the stone of Israel, their foundation and strong support. Now, God has brought his remnant churches forth to shepherd the great harvest that is coming into the houses of God. So we can relate that to what I just said about Joseph. Joseph became the shepherd of Israel to take care of his father and family. So God has called us as shepherds to take care of this harvest that he's bringing into the house. So you yourself have to have a strong foundation under you. So because when you start helping these people's coming in, the enemy's going to come at you because he wants you out of the way because you're taking his souls from him. And you're going to have to be strong. Blessings are promised to Joseph's descendants. Jacob blessed all his sons, but especially Joseph, who was separated from his brethren. Not only separated in Egypt, but possessed great dignity and was more devoted to God. Think about this. So I said, blessings are promised to Joseph's descendants. What about our descendants? God's blessing us, so therefore he wants to bless our descendants. He wants to bless our kids, our grandkids, or whatever. So why can't we believe for that? We look at them, they said, boy, they'll never amount to anything. Shut your mouth. God already has what they're going to happen to them in their books. They're being attacked just like you were attacked before you got the place you're at. God wants to bless you and your descendants. If he's promised you your kids are going to serve God, they're going to serve God. If you'll keep your mouth shut and quit cursing them, if you'll just hang on to the promises of God, they're going to do everything God has told you they're going to do. It's hard sometimes to look at bare facts. And you know, and see this whatever in front of you, and then in the spirit realm, God saying there's going to be this great mighty tower that's going to tear you know the kingdom of darkness apart. It's hard if you make it hard. If you quit looking at people through your eyes, look at people through the eyes of Jesus. And really, truly, that really does work. And then keep in mind what God has said about those people. I don't care who I come in contact with. I always say, God, where are these people going? And I'm going to be honest, there have been a couple people come across my path that God said are not mine, never will be mine. And so those you just don't expect anything from them, because God's already said they're not his and they never will be. But until he says that, you keep praying. You don't just, well, God said, no, you just don't want to pray for them. You just keep praying and just keep watching and see. You know, God could at any time change, the man or woman could change their heart. It's happened in the Word, right? All right, this is a real picture of the year 2023. Before we can enter into this season of the fullness of God's blessings, we must abandon the pains from poor choices in the past. And God told me that the body of Christ hasn't done that yet. Quit cursing yourself. Let go of the past. It's already done its duty, dirt on you already. Why do you want to relive that dirt? Let go of your past and move on. If you feel like you're ashamed, you're the only ones doing, other people don't care what you've done, what you're doing. So you just tell your mind you're not going to concentrate on what you used to do. You're going to concentrate on where God's taking you to. If you concentrate on what you did, you're never going to move forward. You're going to stay in that rut. All right, just let them go. Offer them to God. We're talking about your pains from the past. Just let them go. Offer them to God. Allow him to start your blessings to overflow, and watch your relationships begin to be restored. Everybody in this church has a book to write of your pains and how people have walked, on and on and on. Every one of us could write a book about that. Why do we want to do that? You already had that book in your head. Let go of it. I mean, maybe someday God will have you write a book to help other people. But it isn't a book just to say, oh, poor me, look what happened to me. It's a book to say, look where I was at, and look how God brought me through it. Look where I'm at today. And here you are, you're a great big, song leader or whatever you are. But look where you used to be, is what your book should say. But look where God has brought me to. I didn't give up when I was down here in this slums. I kept on, kept trusting, kept. Even if you're trying to overcome an addiction, eating's an addiction. You have to trust God and believe God is going to bring you clear through that thing. But you have to make the effort to get out of that. And then as you'll slip and you'll fall. I don't believe that whenever you're an alcoholic or you're a drug addict that you should be thrown in prison. That doesn't help you. The rehabs don't even help you. This is something that you're going to determine in your heart. I'm going to do this thing. I'm not going to give in to this addiction any longer. Because jail doesn't help you. I've watched too many people go in and out of jail. Go right back to the same thing. It's God. It's God that can help you. And see, this is where we had to be at. We had to be to the place where we can go and talk to people. And I don't mean people like you and I. The higher ups that say, look, jail is not doing it. Rehabs are not doing it. And we have to have something else to take the people to. And what the other place would be a place where they'd hear about Jesus. Somebody was giving me a testimony, it might have been somebody in here, where one of their loved ones, they were put in jail, and then they had to go, they're put in a rehab somewhere, but they had to go to church every time they had church services. And they got saved because they were at a rehab. I think Teresa, somebody, one of Teresa Ann's relatives it was, but they got saved because they had made them go to the church. Jail doesn't make you go to church. I don't even make you go to church. But in that rehab, you had, in order to be there, you had to go to church. And this boy, he was pretty bad, but he got wonderfully saved. Now he's trying to get his mother saved. So you see, the jail system isn't working. So the church has to get involved. And so we need to set up programs where people really get set free. We already have a program. It's Jesus Christ. And the anointing goes, he said, we walk into a room, you know, like Jesus did, the devils will flee. So there's your program. You get so full of God that when you wherever you're walking, that the devils are going to jump out of people. God has said that we're going to empty the prisons and empty the hospitals. So where are we at in that phase? Are we getting ready to step into that phase? I don't know, because God took me on that trip. All right, another blessing. Where are we at here, Chris? Brett. Another blessing of letting go of your past will be seeing your intimacy with your Father deepen day by day. You know, really, truly, and this is a testimony of mine, when I let go of the pain of a bad marriage, I fell deeper in love with Jesus because I knew he was never going to leave me nor forsake me. And I no longer leaned on flesh to satisfy me. I kept getting closer and closer with God. And that's the way it should be. We must let go of any sinful patterns of our past. Patterns. This will bring a necessary healing of old sinful ways to a required end. God will now enlarge our blessings into their fullness once we become intimate with God. Instead of trying to get some man or woman or some friend, you know, take the pain and everything away, and we really cry out to God, he is the source and he will set you free. Don't ever try to draw people to you, because you're nothing. It's the Spirit of God in you that draws people to you. But when the Spirit of God draws people to you, then you show them who they should be serving, and that's the Father. Stop and think about how God reunited Joseph and his brothers. God used a famine of food, right? Today, God is using a famine of relationships. Have you seen how relationships are broken? You know, there's no unity, you know, everything, a bunch of discord and everything else. And God has said he's working on relationships, and that's why I put that there. So, God is using a famine of relationships. Think about this. Joseph could have had his brothers executed. Instead, he displayed overwhelming mercy and became the redeemer for not only his immediate family, but also national Israel. Do you see, if you do like Joseph, did you see where you could go, what you could do for God, and how you could set humanity free? You girls are working in the schools. You know, if you get so full of God when you walked into the room, you know, the glory of God would walk in there with you, and it would change the atmosphere. I told you about when I went to a funeral years ago when I was first born again. You know, I walked into the funeral home. You know, it's a little dark. You know how they dim funeral homes. And everybody got really super quiet. And they said, who just came into the room? And finally, as I walked towards my father, he said, oh, it's just, they called me Jimmy. It's only Jimmy. And they said, no, somebody came into the room. When I walked into the room, the glory of God came into the room with me, and it caused a stir among the people. But see, and I was really, really close to God. And so, see, it's only as you get really close to God that you carry that powerful anointing that when you walk into a room. When Jesus walked into a room, the atmosphere changed. When Peter and Paul walked in the room, the atmosphere changed. So how close are you to God? So if you're going to empty out the hospitals, you know, when you go visit somebody, you walk onto that ward and all of a sudden everybody gets healed. It's because you have a close, intimate walk with God and you carry the glory into that place. Are you understanding this? All right. Today, God is restoring broken relationships to show the world his grace and eternal love. Everybody, I want everybody in this room to carry the glory of God so strong in your life that, all right, you girls that are in college, or whoever's in college, I want the glory of God so strong in you that as you walk the corridors, you know, or walk in your classroom, the kids are just going to go out in the spirit. And you know, and the anointing of God will flow into the because this is what's happening all over the world, except in Delaware. But you know, this is what you guys can do. You can have the glory of God so strong in you, you could really cause a revival right here in Delaware. Are you listening? I mean, it's awesome, really. You know, when you're walking, like I would walk when I was out shopping all the time. I'd walk, you know, in the store, and somebody say, "What'd you just do to me?" Didn't do nothing, but they said, "You touched me," and I said, "No, I didn't." I kept on walking because I knew it was the glory of God. But at that point, I didn't know how to explain to anybody what was going on. And then one lady said, "But I got healed." And I just kept on walking because I didn't know what to do, but I know what to do now. So, see, this is what I want you guys, everybody in this room, even the sound of my voice, I want you to be that full of the glory of God that, you know, we could start a revival just with us in this room. You know, as we went out there and walked around, we could actually start a revival in Delaware. Why not? Why not? Why don't we do that? All right, today God is restoring broken relationships to show the world his grace and eternal love. Jacob was very knowledgeable of God's ability to turn tragedy into triumph, demonstrating that if we purpose to keep our eyes on God in the process, then God will allow the stones in our paths to become the very gates of heaven. Tonight, allow your stones to become your blessings. And what I'm saying here is, if you get that close to God, because God tells me, daughter, I've already gone before you and cleared all the stones from your path so you won't fall. And so this is why I put that there. And, you know, God wants us to walk right up into the gates of heaven. He wants us to have that free access to him all the time. Do you have that free access? You have to ask yourself that. And if you don't, then you'd have to work on a closer walk with God. You know, I was thinking, sitting there in praise and worship, I know when I used to really, you know, it was really, before I really knew, just to totally trust God 100%, I would come to church and I was sitting and I would be praising God, just crying, because the pain inside of me was so great. You know, I hadn't let go of that pain yet. And I'd just cry and sing the praises to God and leave the church still hurting, but feeling lighter. And it came one day that as I was standing praising the Father and I was crying because I was hurting so bad, I said, "God, please take this pain from me." And I never cried after that because I finally learned I had to let go. I just had to let go. I don't care what people think you have, because everybody thought I had a wonderful life. I don't care what people think you have. You know what's inside of you. And you know where the pain come from. You know all about that pain. But you keep on following God. You keep on trusting God. And one day, you know, God takes it away from you. Then you have a testimony of the goodness of God. Amen. All right, Genesis 28:11-17. Jacob went on to pay a great price for the valuable lessons of a pathway from trickster to triumph. Joseph was just one reminder. You know, Jacob tricked his brother into getting the inheritance. Yet in the end, God turned all things around to bring us this message that 2023 is the birth of our turnaround. We must view what God desires as our lifestyle and not give in to human efforts of busyness. How many of you have found that you all of a sudden realize, I'm just doing busy stuff. I'm really not doing good stuff. I'm just doing busy stuff. And, you know, I come to that knowledge about a month ago. And so I threw away the busy stuff and I got down to the nitty-gritty of really what God was asking me to do. And my whole life changed. How do we get into that thing of doing everything God wants us to do to busyness? It's a gradual thing, isn't it? And, you know, gradually, day by day. And next thing you know, you're doing busy things. Good things, but not what God wants you to be doing. And you have to let go of that busy stuff. And that busy stuff is always helping somebody else. You know, that kind of stuff. And when really you need to be in the presence of the Father. I'm not telling you don't help people. I didn't say that. We can go overboard with that, is what I'm saying. You need to take your personal time with the Father so that the glory is so strong the devil can't stop it. 2023 will be a year to end the strife of past broken relationships and once again move forward with your obedience to God in birthing your destiny. God has said that this year he's going to repair relationships. He's going to not only repair them, he's going to put them back together 100%. Let's let God do that. I don't care what somebody's done to you. It didn't kill you. You're still living. It killed Jesus what people did to him. That just popped in, so I thought I'd say that. You know? And God's saying, why are you bitter about what people did to you? Jesus didn't get bitter what we did to him. You know, the disciples didn't get bitter. They kept on, when people did what they did to them, they kept right on moving. Bitterness should have no place in my children, I just heard God say. You know, he wants you to be well springs of living water, and not bitter water, but sweet water. All right. We cannot move forward without some very important conclusions to past mistakes. If I would ask for a show of hands, there's not a one of us in here that wouldn't raise her hand to say that if I said to you, did you do something in your past you wish you hadn't have done? Everybody in this room would raise your hand. Because in some way or another, we messed up. And we don't even like to think about it, but we did. And, you know, the thing that you messed up in is the thing that Satan's going to keep bringing to your remembrance over and over and over again, hoping that he can trip you up on that, but don't let him do that. All right. We cannot move forward without some very important conclusion to past mistakes. This will enable us to walk in the gratitude of grace from God, as opposed to wandering in the wilderness of once forever. The spirit of travail is dropping on everyone who positions themselves in desperation to birth their prophetic destiny now. In other words, how many of you have been sitting at home and all of a sudden you start crying? You don't even know why you're crying. You just start crying. That's a spirit of travail coming upon you, and God is having you cry for other people. You know, Sister Naomi sent me an email the other night after the service. There was so much anointing on her email that I could not answer. I did not want to answer it back. I did not want to ruin her moment of glory with the Father. I have never had that before. And when I read it, I just started to weep. The anointing was so strong. That's how much of a visitation she had with the Father. And it was so strong in that email that I did not want to intrude in her privacy with him. I thought that the first time I experienced that was neat to me. And, you know, you might experience that too sometime. And if you do, please don't intrude upon their privacy with God. Let them enjoy that moment. We all need those moments with the Father. All right. So I said, grace is sufficient for all of our needs. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, but the Lord said, my grace is all you need. Only when you are weak can everything be done completely by my power. So I will gladly boast about my weaknesses, then Christ's power can stay in me. Yes, I am glad to have weaknesses if they are for Christ. I am glad to be insulted and have hard times. I am glad when I am persecuted and have problems, because it is when I am weak that I am really strong. 2023 is a time you and your family will be encouraged by God to forget the past. When I read 2 Corinthians, what Paul was saying, I was thinking, none of you can say that. I'm so happy I'm going through a trial of tribulations. It's just wonderful that I'm going through this mess today, Lord. We don't do that. But Paul wrote in the Word and said he did it. Amen. In fact, I looked up the scripture because the other day I said, Father, I'm just weak right now, and I just don't think I can do this. Something he was asking me to do, and what it was. So he says, daughter, when you're weak, that's when you're strong. Because that's when he takes over. Are you understanding this? Don, God wants you to know that, that when you feel weak, you feel like you just really can't do what he's asking you to do. He's, that's when you're strong, because that's when he steps into your boat with you, and he'll help you come through whatever troubled waters you're walking in to get where God's trying to take you to. All right, embrace your fullness of blessings and take that message to a very hurting world. Don't go out there and say, do you know what happened to me today? You know how the devil beat me up? No, 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 no. Go out there and say, Jesus is so good. Inside, your heart's hurting. You know, you just had a really bad time. But you need to go out there and say, you know, God is so good today. And, you know, just encourage them in the Lord. And as you encourage them, you try it. You'll forget about what you're going through, and that's the truth. Amen. Is that what you said, Alan? Amen. Yep. When you encourage somebody else in the Lord. I was sitting at my desk yesterday, I think it was, and I was working and, you know, trying to get to morning and evening services together. And I kept, Brother Allen kept coming to my mind. And I thought, I'm just going to call him. But the phone rang and he called me. And, you know, this is, you know, and something happened with somebody else like that. And they said, did you notice we started emailing at the very same time? But see, that's when you're in one mind and one accord. That's when you're in unity with the body of Christ. And you'll know when somebody's going to call you, or you'll know when somebody's going to knock on your door. Because the Spirit is that strong, and the Spirit will tell you things. All right, so somebody was on my mind really strong, and I just wrote and said, are you okay? They wrote back and said, no. And I knew they weren't, because I could feel they weren't okay. And so, you know, then I just, I'll be praying for you. This is the way God wants us. He wants us so full of the glory and so intimate with him that you can feel everything that's going on in the spirit realm. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord, are we not? Then shouldn't we feel your pain? I've had people write to me and say, are you okay? And I say, no. I'm you know, really having a bad day, you know, with my health or whatever. But see, God laid it upon their heart, and he said, I'll be praying for you. I didn't even answer the email. I just said no to myself. And then they said, I'll be praying. And this is the way we, you know, we are a family, guys. When you hurt, I hurt. And when I hurt, you hurt. And, you know, when I have a problem, you know, you have a problem. Because we care for, I hope this is the way it works, we care for one another. I said, I loved working because it was another family, and I didn't really want to quit working, because we knew everything about each other, and we worked together, you know, with help people through their problems, because I didn't find that in the church. I'm being honest. At that point when I was going to church, I didn't find that in the church, but I found it in the workplace. All right, 2023 is a year of evangelistic harvest. 2023 will become the beginning of one of the most unprecedented times of harvest this nation and the world has ever experienced. God keeps telling me that over and over and over again. We need to be ready for this reaping. We need to have our visions of a move of God raised higher. The world around us is experiencing this in a way most Americans have never experienced. Wouldn't it be wonderful when you were in college and you were going to have this big quiz that you hadn't studied for, that the glory would God would drop in the room and everybody go out in the spirit and you wouldn't have the test until the next day or something? Wouldn't that be wonderful? That just came to me, so I thought I'd just say that. I just think that would be, and then you just say, thank you, Jesus. All right, where am I at? Take time to follow the Father's drawing you into a deep hunger for intimacy with him and the sheep of his pastor. In other words, you know, I care for all you guys, and you know, I do pray for you, and I ask, tell God, just if anybody's hurting, lay them upon my heart so I can pray for them. Because this is a cruel world, and you have to know somebody loves you and cares for you. Because the world doesn't like you at all. And if we don't love one another, then we can't love the harvest. You know, and if you should be able to accept me in all with all my warts, and I should be able to accept you with all your warts and not judge you. Like Sister Nancy said to me, she said, look, your hair's getting thin. I said, quit judging me, look at your own self. You know, but you know, we were joking about that, but we should be able to do that with one another, have fun, you know, and just enjoy one another. We just shouldn't come into the house of God and just come into the house. We should be a family that talks together. You know, I saw some reading the word, that's fine. Saw others on their cell phones, which isn't fine. But, you know, I thought, why aren't we should be talking to one another? We should be saying, hi, how are you? And you know, just making yourselves comfortable with each other, and that you're making yourself comfortable with God. And then you open up the atmosphere when you go into praise and worship for the glory to fall. I learned that the hard way, but that's the way it's supposed to be. All right? Is that where am I at? He cares. Oh, he cares for every one of his creations. God loves each one of us. He made us to glorify him in all the earth. 2023 will be a year that is initiated in many exciting ways. Begin to thank God for all his love and grace and care that he gave us more than we could ever deserve. You know, I just picked up yesterday that just like God told me the glory's come, what, 15 years ago? And he said, don't grow weary in telling them that. And God told me that the people are weary in hearing that the miracles are going to come. They're getting weary of saying the harvest is ready to be ripe. I mean, be picked. Don't grow weary. And, you know, just like whenever I said the glory was going to come, and that was 15 years ago. And I was so glad God said, don't grow weary in saying that, because there's many times I said it and I said, oh. I really don't want to say that anymore because I don't see no glory. And you might get into a place like that. You know, somebody said to me on the phone, they were called, wanting prayer, and they said, well, God told me through you in the church, I'll say 10 years ago, I forgot, it was quite a while ago, that my marriage was healed. I said, then it is. I said, you just have to wait to walk it out and let God bring it to the earth. And I said, as long as you're doubting, it isn't going to be healed. Because you tie God's hands. If God said something, then he means it. All right? All right, up till now, 2023 has been a year of praise and thanksgiving. In Psalm 104, come through the gates to his temple, giving thanks to him. Enter his courtyard with songs of praise. Honor him and bless his name. King David appointed Levites to lead in prayer, thanksgiving, and praise in 1 Chronicles 16:4. Then David chose some of the Levites to serve before the Lord's holy box. They had the job of celebrating and giving thanks and praise to the Lord, the God of Israel. Remember there we went from slow songs to fast songs? Remember how some of you threw a fit to yourself when you weren't around me? But I picked it up in the spirit realm. You know, and now, you know, I've tried to stay in those real fast songs, but now God has had me into the songs we're in now. So you see, it doesn't matter how much I want to go back to some of the other songs right now, he won't let me. This is why we're singing the songs we're singing. You know, God knows what season we're in, and he knows exactly what he wants us to be praising with. Now, when we was doing all the real fast jumping and running, and we'll still do that, but, you know, it was because he was wanting us to celebrate, remember? And he wanted us to get full of joy. And so that's what he had us do. And you did. You celebrated. You got full of joy. And right now, he's wooing your heart. If you listen to the songs, he's wooing you. He's, first of all, some of the songs, he's letting you know how much he loves you. Then it's us singing to him, telling us how much we love him. He's wooing us so we can have that intimate relationship with him. So quit judging. Good grief. Just go with the flow. Just go with the flow. All right, at the heart of this chapter we just read about, the praisers, at the heart of this chapter is thanksgiving. Beginning in verse 7, David recited his own psalm of thanks to the Lord. The first verses following reveal a beautiful song of gratitude to God. True worship of God issues forth from grateful hearts. Exchange a spirit of bitterness for a spirit of thanksgiving. Feelings such as bitterness, envy, hostility, and pride disqualifies anyone from true worship. Feelings such as bitterness, envy, hostility, and pride disqualifies anyone from true worship. Thanksgiving opens up the door of the heart toward God in such a way that the individual is freed for true worship of God. Everywhere in Scripture, the spirit of thanksgiving is revealed as vital to our worship experience. Are you listening to this? Worship means everything to God. King David had a lifestyle of one trial after another that could have been his ending at any moment if he had ever given in to defeat. He was always faced with a trial of some sort. Some of you are too, aren't you? Don't you have trials daily, some of you? And you know, some of you don't, because you're not that close to God, and so you're the devil's not in your face all the time trying to destroy you. But those who are really walking close to God, it just seems like, is this ever going to end, God? I thought Job's experience ended, but it just continues. But you don't give up just because you're having a trial. You keep praising him. Yesterday, little Isaiah, he was so happy. He was going all through the house just a singing and a praising, and he was like that all day long. And I said, honey, about 2 o'clock this morning, I said, honey, you're really been happy all day. How come? He said, because Gabriel's sick and he's in bed sleeping. And he's not bothering me, he said. but he was really happy all day. He came in there just a singing and a praising and a hugging me. Maybe that's why some of us can praise, because our enemy's bound and we know it, right? However, David had the same faithfulness that Joseph and Jacob possessed. They allowed themselves no room for destruction. Praise and worship before Almighty God became not only a healing salve to their tattered souls, but also a weapon of praise against the wiles of the devil. You know, guys, sometimes you'll be hurting so bad that you really can't worship. What I found works is just sitting and saying, God, I can't do it, but I'm here sitting in your presence. And I even sat there crying. And God understands it, and he comes down and he sits with you. Because sometimes you just can't get that praise out. The pain is so deep and so hard. But make sure you always sit before the Father and say, here I am. I need your help today. Be honest with him. The reason why you can't be honest with him, some of you aren't honest with yourself. You don't admit I've got a problem today. Or you try to smooth it over. I used to do that all my life. I found out whatever you sweep under the carpet, it's still under the carpet. And when you lift that carpet, it's going to hit you in the face. All right? Praise and worship before Almighty God became not only a healing salve to their tattered souls, but also a weapon of praise against the wiles of the devil. Likewise, we need to incorporate praise as a lethal weapon in our spiritual arsenal. Psalm 30, 11 through 12 says, you have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy. Why? That I might sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks. How long? Forever. Be like David and then have a spirit of thanksgiving for saving you from your enemies. 1 Chronicles 16:4, then David chose some of the Levites to serve before the Lord's holy box. They had the job of celebrating and giving thanks and praise the Lord, the God of Israel. Why don't you appoint yourself to protect the box, the anointing, and then you just praise. I'm protecting this box of anointing I have inside, God, and just praise and make the enemy leave you. All right, so we have had a real year of trials of our faith, have we not? We need to understand that the trying of our faith is what makes Christians stronger. See, I'm just being honest. Sometimes say, God, how much stronger do I have to be? Because it's a never-ending battle some days, some weeks, some months. Amen. It goes on and on and on. I'll say, what day is today? Because it seems like that, nothing ever ends, right? I'm just being honest. Let's just be honest. You know, we're human. We're not Jesus Christ. And I can tell you what, the Son of God, I know that he went to the Father all the time. And I know he had to be strengthened, because he was amongst the darkness. He was amongst the darkness by himself, really, because his disciples didn't get their act together until he died, right? So, you know, you talk about being alone. Well, look at what Jesus had to endure. He was alone all the time, even though he had 12 men around him. How many of you know you can be alone in a room full of people? Psalm 34, some of them don't know that. They just looked at me like, what? Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Now is the time to begin drawing into the heart of the Father and to thank him for all he has done. 2023 is a year to press into and beyond the fullness of blessings for you, your family, and the harvest. It's time we start praying for our enemies so God can set us free. How did Job get free from his afflictions? When he started to pray for his enemies, then God delivered him and brought him forth and gave him everything he promised him. I really believe that God has brought this family, this church, into a family unit. And I really believe that what God is going to be, because see, what God told me is he was going to shake the church, get it down to a handful of people, and from there, he's going to bring the revival. And I watched as he shook and shook and shook and shook people out of here, and I see what's remaining. And so I know that you guys are what God's going to use to start the revival here in Delaware. And in order for you to do that, you have to be in unity, one mind and one accord. You have to be working with each other, not against each other. Even with our pain, we still come to work. You know, whenever the guys are doing deliverance, some of them have been really sick, but they still come in and sit and do the deliverance. And God gives them strength to do what they have to do. See what I'm saying? If you take that step forward in faith, God meets you there. And he works with you. He never leaves you alone. How many of you are ready to? I'm going to say, all right, so I was saying God's drawn us together as a family. I don't want to be like your family, you know. I want it to be a family in God, you know. You know, and I don't want us to have aught against one another. I don't want us going around talking behind each other's back. I want us to be open. We should be a book that people can read. There shouldn't be anything hidden. I had somebody tell me one time, you know, you need to quit telling, this was years ago, you needed to quit telling everybody everything goes on in your life. And then God said, I want you to be an open book. That's why I said that. I don't have any skeletons in my closet because I don't want the enemy opening that closet door and embarrassing God at the right moment. So let's be honest with one another. And let's just get everything out in the open. And let's just be in total unity. If you have aught against somebody, go to them and say, you know, we really need to talk about this because I want us to be in one mind, one accord. Oh, how hard that's going to be for some of you. But it you can do it, and it does work. All right, the altar's open this morning. And what it's open for is God truly wants to draw you closer to his bosom because he wants to bless you beyond measure. He wants to start pouring those blessings into you. Go ahead, the altar's open.